Hello and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Pals podcast. My name is Tim. With me, as always, is Amanda.
Hello.
And I think today we're going to talk to you mostly about, I don't know, we'll probably veer off course at some point.
But, most likely.
Because who can talk about this for an entire podcast? We could. We could maybe do it.
And when do we stay on track is the real question.
Fair point. It's the Fantastic Four movie, and you've probably already heard a lot about this because more important than perhaps even Avengers or Avengers Age of Ultron doing so well, this movie tanked. And so that's kind of the first time since Green Lantern, I guess, that a movie flopped this historically. And, not a movie, a superhero movie, I should say. And I think that's pretty noteworthy because after Green Lantern, DC went right back to the books. And they were like, we have no idea what we're doing. We're going to make everything Zack Snyder. Like, everything's going to have that Zack Snyder sensibility to it. Everything's going to have that dark and grittiness to it. And we're certainly not going back to Green Lantern until 2020. And so that's, I think that that's an interesting thing. Obviously, as I think we've talked about in the past, Fantastic Four, the movie rights are owned by Fox instead of Marvel or even Sony. And that means that the Fantastic Four, like the X-Men, are not a part of the main Marvel universe as we've come to see it, with the Avengers and Captain America and Iron Man and so on and so forth, the Guardians of the Galaxy, etc. So they do not figure into all of that, but it's still, Fox had some considerable plans, I think, over on their end. They weren't necessarily coming into motion yet, but I think they were close. And their kind of, their stalwart product is still the X-Men, and that line is still going pretty well. I think the last X-Men movie, which was Days of Future Past, went reasonably well. Yeah. I think people liked it, and I think it did well in theaters. And I think that this won't set X-Men back so far, but this is the third time that a Fantastic Four movie has come out in the last, what, 10 years?
Something like that.
And the third time a Fantastic Four movie has not done well. So we saw it, and I think that we both have some thoughts about it. There have been times, like on that, I think it was our first episode, the look back at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there have been times where we did not like movies, like Iron Man 3, or even, for myself at least, I guess, more and more the more I think about it or see it, Thor the Dark World, things like that, but even that's a step above.
Yeah, it's not,
I didn't hate it, at least that one.
It's watchable.
And there are still, yeah, there are still parts of it that I'm on board with. But there have also been times that we've gone to bat for movies that people didn't like so much.
Right.
I think we both like Iron Man 2 more than a lot of people. There are definitely flaws with it, but by and large, I think that it's a pretty fun movie. There have been others, I'm sure, that, that we've gone to bat for. I think part of it is that there aren't that many movies that haven't been well-received by Marvel. But we both are fans of at least the first Amazing Spider-Man. Not so much, I should say, the second Amazing Spider-Man. Again, I think we both thought there were good parts of it.
Yeah.
There are huge flaws to it, but
for sure. Still think it's watchable, definitely.
As long as Electro isn't on the screen,
yeah,
I feel
pretty
like.
Much. Well, I think, and I don't want to get too much into that, but it does
probably
have
will.
A large part due to, I just get totally blanked on his name. Andrew Garfield.
Oh, what we like about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield was great. I think we were both.
I think that that's 100%. And Emma Stone's great, too. But he, I think, 100%.
That's the Spider-Man that we wanted, I think, at this point. Like, now that we look back, I think it's going to be hard to go back to that.
Yeah.
And see someone else in that role, even if this new guy does pretty well.
Right.
I think it's Tom Holland, I think is his name.
I don't have any idea.
I know I've read it about 100 times.
I think I have, too. I think I looked at it just the other day.
But he's a 16-year-old. I mean, who even talks about 16-year-olds? Sorry, 16-year-olds listening. Anyway, Fantastic Four flopped pretty hard, and we are going to agree with every other critic out there and every other moviegoer out there. It just wasn't good.
No.
It wasn't catastrophically bad. Which is almost worse for it, I would
say. Well, because it's not like everything was bad, because the acting actually was very good. I would say that the acting was
I think it was good for the script that it had.
That's what I mean.
I think that they did fine, but I don't think there was much asked of them.
No, but that's what I mean, though, is that, like, that's why it's watchable, I feel like, because if, mm-hmm. if they had sucked, mm-hmm. it would just be a lost cause.
For sure.
Like, entirely.
But at the same time, it's almost a tragedy that it was a decent, like, acting performance, because these are good young actors that they really could have built a franchise around. Like, we are 100% on board with Miles Teller, because we've seen Whiplash. If any of you have not, good God, go out there now and see it. It's amazing. He's incredible in it. And I think just based on that, we're 100% on board with Miles Teller, and he should have had more to do in this movie other than kind of marvel at set pieces and very mildly try to escape a government think tank.
Yeah.
It's vague.
Experiment.
And Michael B. Jordan, I'm a huge fan of, mostly from Friday Night Lights for me. I've seen him in a few other things. He's in Parenthood. Amanda's a fan of that. He's supposed to be amazing in Fruitvale Station, which I have not seen, but it's supposed to be just transformative. And I don't doubt it. I think he's got all sorts of talent.
Yeah.
Kate Mara, very well liked. I saw her in...
She's in Iron Man, too. That's the only thing I know, that's the only thing you ever cite.
Yeah. What's it called? House of Cards. And she was very good in that. House of Cards varies for me on how much I actually like it, but I thought that she did very well. And I actually think that she did pretty well. Like, she was the one that I was least likely to believe in the movie, just because her image of Sue Storm, or, like, the image that I have of Sue Storm doesn't line up with...
What, for with her?
Yeah, I think. Like, for whatever reason. Like,
is it
part
because
of that is just, I feel like Sue Storm is bigger, like, has a bigger presence than Kate Mara.
But also, are you viewing her as, like, the Sue Storm that, like, we know now?
Sure, yeah, the mother.
So, like, the mom and...
I think there's definitely a part of that. I think it's better to view her as that than the original Sue Storm. Attention to me, so I turned to
For sure, but I just mean...
I cut up all my clothes.
Well, yeah, but if they're all starting from that point, then you can't really compare it to...
But, I don't know, with the amount of power that Sue Storm has, like, constantly people are citing that, like, her upper limits are extremely high, and that she is, in terms of the power set that she has, mostly the force fields, I would say, a little bit the invisibility, but mostly the force fields, I see her as someone physically larger. Like, I don't know, I think she comes across physically larger to me.
Maybe,
which is a weird trait, and it's a little weird, I guess, that I'm saying that she's not the one who she's the one in that movie that doesn't match my image from the comics, when the controversy around Michael B. Jordan is Johnny Storm was there. But
I actually
that was no problem for me for the minute that it was.
I don't think I had a problem with her at all. I think that she looked the part to
maybe
me.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Because I honestly couldn't tell you who I would think Sue Storm should have been played by or something like that. But again, she did fine. I think Kate Mara, like, partway through that movie, because there was nothing else to think about, I was like, oh, she's actually, you know what, she's filling the screen pretty well. She's doing exactly what I think she needs to be doing for this. That's fine. And then Jamie Bell was the thing, which is kind of an overstatement, because Jamie Bell was in, what would you say, like, 40 minutes of the movie?
The movie's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I feel like it's less than that.
He was not in it very much. Plus, by the time... like, Miles Teller goes off to the
school.
Baxter building.
Well,
he's
out
of the movie, practically. Comes back for a little bit. But then it's all voiceover and it's the thing and blah, blah, blah. And I think he did fine in his role as Ben Grimm. But...
again, none of the characters had any kind of range to them.
Very little.
They were all just kind of straightforward.
And I think that was the problem. Like, we had talked very briefly in our last podcast. And we did... I think we mentioned this on our reviews on the website... thenerdpals.com, in case somehow you have not heard or not been able to figure out it's the Nerd Pals. But we had talked very briefly about the idea that maybe a shorter superhero movie would be something very interesting.
Right.
Because every superhero movie that's come out lately has been 2 hours or more, pretty
much.
Right.
And it's just like, it kind of, and like, we've liked all of them, mm-hmm. but like, I've heard people say that, like, they're just bombarded with action scenes and all that.
Yeah, because that's what it ends up being. That's what ends up adding so much time, is that you have huge action set pieces, mm-hmm. which is fine. I think that we both like it, but you can understand why people would get worn out by that. And there have been times where I've been like, yeah, is this fight necessary? Is this whatever? And, like, I think that Marvel in particular has done a good job of varying how the fights feel. Like, we just watched Captain America the Winter Soldier the other day again, and those fight scenes don't feel like anything else in the Marvel universe, which is great. I think that they're incredible. And I think even Age of Ultron, obviously there's a lot of CGI there, there's a lot of, you know, Hulk and Thor and Iron Man fighting and things like that, which means you're in for a level of high action. But at the same time, I think that they work pretty well. Mm-hmm. And, like, Ant-Man just came out and had a very different fighting style and a very different visual addition there. And then this one had, like we thought, very little action to it, which was kind of interesting in theory. But then I don't think it came together at all, because there wasn't much else behind it. The general plot of the movie, spoilers, I guess, but you're not going to go see it. We're all we're saying right now. If you just skipped ahead to this part of the podcast somehow, all we've said so far, not a good movie. So why are you going to see it? So spoilers, but to nobody, I guess. The plot of the movie is that Reed Richards, a young Reed Richards, has created a...
Teleporter.
Thank you. I was like, I cannot even tell you what it was. A teleporter that he thinks will be able to transport people to anywhere on Earth. But actually, Sue Storm, I almost just called her Kate Mara. Sue Storm and her father, her adopted father, Franklin Storm. Is that right? That's not right, right?
I don't know.
It's Franklin Richards. I feel like it can't be Franklin Storm.
No, I feel like you've called him Franklin before.
That makes sense. I have problems.
I don't remember what his actual name is.
Papa Storm. See.
First of all, he's exhibiting his science project at what appears to be a second grade science fair. Either it's all ages, and you can be anywhere from 7 to 18, performing this, or not performing, but
exhibiting.
Or he signed up for a second grade science fair and is trying to...
And one of the judges, his second grade teacher.
His second grade teacher. Who's an asshole?
Oh, he's a real jerk. But doesn't even seem bothered that he's there, other than the fact that he's like, I didn't like this kid a while ago, and now I still don't. Not a day has passed. I feel like I've never run into a teacher from another grade, like, from years past, that wasn't like, oh, hey, it's good to see you. So the idea, I feel like, that he, even if it's fake, even if that teacher is, like, just putting on...
See, ours, I think that there is... like, maybe they would be fake nice to you, I guess, but...
It seems weird to me, unless Miles Teller has gone and visited Dan Castellaneta every day and been like, still building that teleporter. I feel like Dan Castellaneta wouldn't come up here and be like, oh, look who it is. Would you build a teleporter? And then he's like, yeah, no, I did. And he was like, oh, great job, idiot. And, like, he's clearly not dumb. Like, I don't get it. Anyway, characters are awful in this movie. But so they build a teleporter. Papa Storm sees it and brings Reed... who he's been working on technology similar to this, but they haven't been able to put it all together. So he brings Reed to the Baxter Building, which is his foundation, where his foundation is. And he, they work together to build the last bits of this teleporter, which it turns out is not teleporting people to another place on Earth, but to another Earth, which is, I forget what they call it in the film, but it's essentially the negative zone, is the idea.
I think they just said it was another dimension.
Yeah, but I think that they give it a specific name, like, I don't even know. It's not like Earth 2 or anything like that, but it's something similar to that.
Earth X or something.
Something along those lines, like Planet Z. But it's the negative zone, is the idea. And they go there, they perfect the system, and then they find out because the government... And because the military, that is pretty much the only explanation given, they won't be the ones piloting the flight.
Which yeah, I don't really understand why the military's in on this, exactly.
I don't either. I don't know why the military thinks
this. Well, because was that guy also, like, a professor or something?
What's his name?
A brother where art thou?
I know, it's Timothy something. Oh, no, I feel like a jerk, because he's great. He's excellent. Never going to see him in, except maybe this. He's fine in this.
He was fine in this. He was just
just a bad villain.
Yeah.
But he... Yeah, he. I don't think he's a professor. I think he works for the CIA.
It's hard to tell what this thing is, because he's also... Because he moves there to go to school, right? Mm-hmm. But then he... he's also working at this place. I think he is going to school on the side of this place. He mentions it in the movie.
Is he really?
I'm pretty sure he is. Mm. That's why I was confused like the whole time, because it seems like he moved away to go to school, and I think he technically did, but he was also getting like he was also working. Mm-hmm. For them, I think.
Maybe he was getting some sort of education through the Baxter.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
But yeah, he only spends his time doing this, it seems like.
Yeah.
We don't see anything aside from all these
I think he just, like, mentions it to...
But so, anyway.
I almost said Katie Bell.
Yeah, to Katie Bell, yeah. And then she's like, look, dude, I don't care, I'm magic.
Look, I'm at Hogwarts. How did you get here? Drunk.
Yep. And Victor Doom... Nope, he has a different name in this. Victor Von something. I don't think it's even like Von Dom or something, which is I think what they make him in the Ultimate Universe, but it's something closer.
I don't even remember.
Did they just make it? No, because they call him Dr. Doom. That's what Sue Storm calls him. Oh, Dr. Doom, because...
Because he's such a downer.
The Doom and then in also, this movie is such
he's probably
a letdown.
The worst
he's
one.
He's probably the biggest letdown.
Yeah.
Just in general, like... I was reading, this is, I guess, a spoiler for Secret Wars 4? 5? Whatever issue just came out today as we're recording this podcast. But I was reading it, and there's a great moment with Dr. Doom talking to Valeria, who in that world, in Secret Wars, he has... there's some sketchy thing
some
happening
sort
there
of
where he's
brainwashed,
like yeah,
they don't have their memories, so
and,
he...
Yeah, he's created her
told,
or something.
Somehow told them... You're my
she
family.
Believes, yeah. They believe them to be, or him to be, like, their family. And so there's this gray moment between them where he's asking her to do something, and she's questioning it, and she questions it just a little bit too much. And there's this panel between them where they just kind of stare at each other for a second. And Doom, who I think even in the main continuity before Secret Wars, legitimately loves Valeria. Like, he has a weird relationship mm-hmm. with the Fantastic Four now, but I think he legitimately has... like, love in his heart for Valeria Richards. But I think it's probably because they're very similar. They're both very smart, and they both sometimes put their intelligence before emotions or things like that. But there's this moment where he says something along the lines of, don't mistake eternal love for undying patience, or vice versa. Don't mistake undying love for eternal patience. And it's just this threatening, like... stop asking so many questions, do what I told you. And there is that aspect of Doom that I love. I think it made me literally take a picture of the panel and send it to Amanda and say, I love Dr. Doom. He's maybe the best. Because there's so many facets to Dr. Doom, and I think he's so interesting. And I think that he is such an interesting character, at least at this point. And none of that comes through in the movie.
Well, there's no characters whatsoever
like
in
this
movie.
Like, he, in
this
movie... he seems to just not like the government. He's, like, the way we described it is, like, he's a sophomore, like, philosophy student, essentially, where he's, like, he's just figuring out that there are problems in the world, and he's very cynical. He's not providing answers, necessarily. He's just very cynical, and there's some room for that, for sure, but at some point, you know...
It's just, like, it's
make
just,
your point and go on
yeah.
with it. And... he's just... So then, what ends up happening, they go to the negative zone, they get stuck there for a minute, and, starts exploding. Doom sticks his hand in the green.
Yeah, they go down, like, this hill where there's this mm-hmm. green...
green
stuff.
Core of the planet or something.
Yeah, and so Doom touches it, and they all are... Or it starts exploding or something. I'm not even sure
he
if he touches it.
He starts to touch it. He does. He reaches his hand in. But then it starts to... rupture.
Yeah.
And they all rush
and they
back
to
the thing.
Climb back up the hill mm-hmm. and...
he doesn't make it up.
No.
And they transport back, but the exposure to it, possibly the exposure plus the teleporting back, gives them their powers and then somehow gives Sue her powers because some of it like comes in the empty spot
I think
or something
that
and it blasts back
I think
out.
That, I think the idea, because I was trying to figure this out as we were watching the movie, because I was trying to figure out how... as it's happening, it's very easy to figure out what is going to happen at any point in this movie, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
no surprises.
I was trying to figure out exactly how she was going to get her powers, like, as it was happening.
I thought she was going to teleport
and
in there with them or go after them.
I thought so, too. But then it made sense, because I think what it was is that there was a shield around the teleporter.
The shuttle.
So I think that there was, like, some kind of... Mm-hmm. It's not explained at all. some kind of shield around it, and right. that's what exploded and hit her. So I think that's why she got those. Weird. She, like, I think that that was supposed there's, to be the well, explanation that's for the thing that because I think weird, it was a shield around it.
There's a weird, like, they half get powers based on what happens. Like,
yeah,
Ben Grimm can't keep the door closed, and all these rocks he's are like, flying
fused,
at him.
Like the rocks yeah, get exactly. fused to him, it almost so, seems like.
And then there's an explosion, and the fire. I don't know how there's an explosion because there's not an explosion know. Anywhere else in this.
And it's not like a green explosion.
Yeah, no, a fire explosion explodes into Johnny's tank. And he gets melded with that. Nothing that I could see happens to Reed, aside from the fact that he's in there. Maybe he was having trouble keeping the door closed, and his arm stretched out a little bit.
I can't remember. I feel like there was something that... Happened. Yeah, no, I don't
and then,
know.
And so, I didn't know how he got stretchy powers. And then I almost thought, because this is how ridiculous the movie seemed, that the empty one, the empty pod that Doom had been in, going in, but didn't come out from... That it carried some of the energy back and was like, there's nobody here, so invisible powers to you, person that I see next. And it's just, it's nonsense. And it's hard to do that origin story, I get that.
It's hard to give reasons to mm-hmm. them having the powers, I guess.
Especially now that we're like, Negative Zone seems even less feasible than Cosmic Storm. They went to space. But I guess more feasible than, hey, all these dudes are astronauts. Or, like, these two dudes are capable of astronautism. And they're going to bring this dude's girlfriend and her little brother.
I feel like the only reason they've been able to, like, and it is hard. Like, I think that it's a hard thing to justify why they have these powers. But, like, they went to space to be like, we don't know what everything that's in space. Maybe these things gave them these powers. And then, like, in this world, it's like, they're in a different dimension. We don't know what's in this dimension. So, like, except that she doesn't get her powers in that dimension. Yeah,
no, they came back. They packed a lunch for her.
It's weird to me. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't understand why they don't all get the same powers from this. Like, it seems like they're all in the same place. All the same things are happening to them. They should all have the same. In theory, they should all have the same powers.
Yeah.
Jamie Bell should probably be dead.
Jamie Bell could not get that door closed, and some rocks were hurtling at him. He's probably dead.
For some reason.
But anyway. They get those. The government is like, hey, we want these guys. We're the military. We're the vague military enemy. And, like, in all these movies, there's some sort of vague military presence.
It was an unknown base. It was in an unknown area. Undisclosed throughout the entire movie.
And so, Reed Richards breaks out, and he goes and does some science on his own for a year, and they enlist the Thing into the military.
They train them to control sort of their powers.
And they build suits for them and stuff like that will help them control it. And Reed Richards goes off on his own trying to figure out a cure. Like, he's, I think, ostensibly thinking of a cure, but he also just seems to build a suit.
I think...
I might be bringing that in myself, too, about the cure, because that's
I don't
what
think
Reed
he's building
does.
A cure. I think he's... In my head, I think that was, like, his end game, if mm-hmm. he could get back there.
Oh,
but I think he was trying
back.
To get back right. there.
They all
I feel like it's
get
more
back.
About getting
everybody wants
Doom.
To get back is the idea. Because I think that they all decided the way to find a cure is just to go back there and see where this all comes
whatever.
From. And so I think that Reed is trying to on his own find a cure while the others ostensibly try and find a cure but also do this work for the military on the side. And then Ben harbors this real resentment against Reed, sort of, but the rest of them give it up pretty quickly. As soon as they see him, they're like, hey, buddy. Except for Ben, who's like, I'm so mad I'm a rock band. And they are a real resentment because Reed didn't break them out too. And then almost immediately they get over that, I guess. And they go back to the Negative Zone to try and find
get over it immediately because they get sucked into that little area or something.
I guess you're right, yeah. And so they end up going...
Not that little area, the other planet.
The military goes to the Negative Zone first. And then they get there and they find out that somebody's there. And it's, of course, Doom. And he destroys them, annihilates them. He gets brought back first to Earth. He gets brought back to Earth. And then on Earth, he kills everybody and, like, goes back to his planet.
And opens some
saying
kind of
basically, like, hey, you guys ruined the Earth this time. Why would I let you into my Earth, which has given me powers and I love it? And I can start the world anew, and it'll just be me, and it's gonna be perfect.
And I'll destroy your world so you can never get into my world. Yeah,
and so he opens the portal and starts ripping things apart, in a vague way. And then the Fantastic Four have to go and stop him. And so they go in there, and they stop him. Because they're not as powerful as him by themselves, together...
Yeah, it was very heavy-handed, like...
They literally say it.
Yeah, or, like... They all seem to be working as a team up to that point, I feel like.
Yeah, sort of.
Like, especially when they were, like, working as scientists. Like, maybe not in that path, last year or whatever.
They never seemed to really, aside from, Ben being mad at Reed, they never seemed to not get along.
Yeah, or not even, like, work together. And then all of a sudden they're like, we're each gonna hit him separately.
Yeah. They all get mad and attack, and then
Reed
comes up with a brilliant attack.
They're all down for one hit from Doom, and then hit him back once.
Reed comes up with a brilliant idea of, hey, let's work together, and then they win, and that's the whole movie. Nope, then they go back and form their own Fantastic Four with a new base and a new science, and guess what? There's likely not going to be a Fantastic Four 2.
The end.
So, which is fine. We did not like this movie. It's very boring. It's very, very characterless. Like I was trying to hint, I guess, get at the beginning, and then I completely went off course. I thought it would be kind of interesting to see a superhero movie that didn't have so much action to it, and that was shorter, because I thought they could do a nice job with character at that point. And I think Fantastic Four lives and dies by those characters, and the fact that, you know, the Fantastic Four, at their essence, are explorers. That's what their kind of mission is initially, is to go and explore and find a bunch of stuff. And that you can see that in the very first Fantastic Four, like, series, because the work that Stan Lee and Jack Kirby did on that book, the first 50 or so issues, invents almost the entire Marvel universe. It's bonkers how many characters come out of that run, and how many of those characters are still around today, and how many plots. And it's mostly because they were the explorers, so they were able to go out there, and they had this reason for going out and finding stuff, and just wondering about it, you know? And sometimes they fought them, I think probably mostly they fought them, and mostly they won, and... But at the same time, there was never, like, the air of, like, oh, these are huge, huge, huge threats, which I'm sure they were at the time, because you have to build that up, but it was more the air of, like, oh, we found something, it's threatening us right now, we have to destroy it, or we have to, you know, banish it. But more so, we found it, that's kind of cool. And none of that seems to come across here. There's not even, for all the soft science that's in here, there's not even really a sense of wonder, or a sense of, like, we said right after, when we were talking about the movie, I think it almost would have been more interesting to have Miles Teller's character in this movie be more like the one in Whiplash, his character in Whiplash, where he's so dedicated, he's so determined that it literally harms him. Like, he pushes himself to such a place that he gets really, really emotionally and physically ruined by his commitment. And I think that's Reed Richards in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think that it's not as physically an extreme as the character in Whiplash, but I think that idea is a big idea for Reed, where he just, nothing else in his life matters as much as what he's trying to do with science and what he's learning, and that is always a problem with his family, which is what this book is about.
And I think they've talked about that in the comics, like, recently, too, is that, like, I think it's, like, the difference between, like, Tony Stark and him is that he is tunnel-visioned and can only really, like, focus on one thing at a time, whereas Iron Man is, like, he's multitasking all the time, like, you know?
He's seen every eventuality, whereas Reed kind of plans for every eventuality, but at the same time, you're right,
he focuses hard on one thing.
Mm-hmm. And he's the best that you can find at that. But then, you know, Tony's got all these balls in the air.
Right.
That's an interesting...
And so, the two things I was thinking, about all this is that it almost feels like Fox has never been willing to play along with, like, Marvel and that kind of stuff. I don't know that that's necessarily 100% true, but, like, I think it's kind of weird that, like, Stan Lee wasn't in this movie, but when I thought about it, none of the Fox movies really have Stan Lee in them, do they?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, it's probably less egregious in X-Men and stuff because he's not so known for X-Men. Like, he started it and everything, but he also was off.
Right, but there's more than just X-Men, right? Was he in any of those first Fantastic Four movies?
I don't know that.
Because he's at least made it into the Spider-Man movies.
I feel like he might have been at the wedding or something of Sue and Reed.
Was he? I can't. But I don't remember those.
Who has watched those movies?
Close enough. I know.
Yeah, because like we watch it too much because I'll put it on if it's on.
That's yeah, no, and we don't even really watch the whole thing. We'll just flip back and forth between that and something else.
And hopefully we catch a good Chris Evans scene because he's phenomenal in everything he does.
Like,
this is the Chris Evans cast.
And like, and because like, Spider-Man will still put him in those movies, and they still do, like, the scenes at the end, even if they're not related to the rest of the universe. But they don't really do that either. Like, I guess they kind of did with, like, in the X-Men movies.
Yeah, but even those seem to be more, like...
But, like, they seem to try... They seem to be more determined to try it all on their own or something. Like, now Sony is being like, right, we need your help.
I feel like Fox got a boost from the fact that, A, the initial X-Men movies were very well received and pretty good. The first and second X-Men are both pretty good, and then the third one just was terrible.
Right.
But then First Class was good, and Days of Future Past was very good. And so I think that they got that kind of shot of like, hey, we can do this. Where Sony, I would say Spider-Man 1 and 2, very good, but that's now 10 years past, and they haven't had a really good hit movie since Spider-Man 2.
I'm just wondering if it's a matter of, like, playing along and getting help from Marvel, you know?
I think this movie... I've thought a lot about Fantastic Four. And hence why we're doing this podcast about it. And I think that a lot of it is that they've seen what Marvel's done, and they want to do that themselves.
That's what I'm saying.
One of the things... Yes, I agree with that, then. I thought you were saying that they were trying so hard not to be Marvel.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying is that they're not getting the help point. From Marvel.
Oh. Maybe.
And they're not active... And, like, they're not... They don't want... It seems like they don't want the help.
I think it's more that they're not taking the good things that Marvel has done. Like, it takes so much to build this, to have built the universe that Marvel built, and I think that a lot of that has been finding the right cast, which is fine, but also, at least in the early stages, letting the writers and directors come in with a good script. And yeah, they don't have Kevin Feige, which I think is probably a problem. Kevin Feige seems to be, at Marvel Studios, the guy who's able to connect everything, who's mm-hmm. able to bring all that in, and I think that you're right. I think Sony's gonna have a much better chance at succeeding with him on board and with that kind of the ability to tie to that mythology. But I think also, I think you could tie these movies pretty well. I mean, it's a little harder because the properties that Fox has, the X-Men and Fantastic Four rarely run afoul of one another. Like, even the Avengers and Fantastic Four don't see each other a ton, but they see each other far more than I think the X-Men and Fantastic Four. So to tie those universes together is more uncharted territory than what the Avengers or the Marvel Cinematic Universe has to deal with.
Right. I guess my other thing was just that we kind of talked about it a little bit before, that maybe this is just a movie you can't make into a movie.
I think it's hard. I mean, I like a lot of Marvel, and the Fantastic Four have just about always bored me.
And they keep trying it, but like maybe it just doesn't work. Because like we've said, you can't, even with, like, the effects in this movie were terrible.
They were very bad.
Really, really, really
bad.
And
I think it might have been, I might have read that it's a rather new, like, team, like, a company doing uh-huh. the effects on this. I didn't read a lot about it. And I think they were relatively proud of how it came out in terms of, like, hey, I know it was a flop, but everyone got to see our stuff.
Right.
But
it was really bad. And I think that, like, we've talked about it before, that I think that there is no, even with good graphics or good effects or whatever, there's no way to make Mr. Fantastic look normal.
Yeah, he looks very bad in this movie, and he looked very bad in the old movies. And I think a lot of that is that power doesn't
do much.
It doesn't do much, but also there's not a good way to make it look. Like, humans look a certain way.
Right.
That's why even when, you know, you get... Like Ant-Man or Giant-Man or something, making them bigger or smaller, as long as their proportions are the same, works.
It's more than that, though, I think, too, because I was trying to pinpoint exactly, like, what bothers me about looking at it, and I think that, like, and I guess you would be smoother if you were stretched out or whatever, but there's, like, no text, like, the texture isn't right either.
It's just a noodle.
It's just, yeah.
It's a wet noodle.
Yeah. It looks like clay, honestly.
Which maybe it should, honestly, I guess. Maybe. Like, his power is kind of clay-like.
I guess.
But at the same time, it's disconcerting, and it's not fun to look at.
Yeah, no, it's not at all.
Neither was the Rockman. That Rockman looked real bad in this
movie.
That
Rockman, I've never had such problems with a superhero's powers before. I sat and watched him for this hour and a half during this movie. Because I'm just like, does he have tear ducts? How are his eyes working? Are the rocks just fused?
His eyes
fused?
Look real shiny, too.
Yeah. Are the rocks just fused to his skin, or is he made of rocks? Because I guess my assumption of him all these years was that he was made of rocks now.
Yeah, I guess I thought that, too.
But the way that the movie, I feel like...
Yeah, they made it seem like they're all just
they're
attached
just
to him.
They're just fused to him somehow. Somehow.
But see, but I feel like it must be... Oh, I guess.
But if he's made of rocks, how does he have any organs?
That's true.
How does he have eyes?
That's true.
And how does he have any organs?
Well, and like the other thing, at least in the comics, is that one day a year, Ben Grimm turns back into Ben Grimm. And so I don't know what the logistics of that are as well. But yeah, because there is, in this movie, there are lines about like, oh, does it hurt to be like that? And he's like, I've gotten used to it.
I'm used
Which
to
I
it.
Feel like if you were a rock man, you wouldn't feel anything.
No,
like,
you
it wouldn't
have
be,
nerves.
It wouldn't be about pain. Yeah, it would be about, but like if you're a dude carrying a bunch of rocks on you, you wouldn't really get used to that in a lot of ways. And you're right. Like, I feel like his eyes, honestly, are too spread apart for it to be a dude.
Oh, yeah.
Just with the rocks fused to him. Because, like, you can make the guess, I guess, that or the assumption that if he was just a dude with rocks fused to him, even if he was taller and his eyes were higher up, maybe the rocks are underneath him as well, giving him a little step stool. But...
Maybe.
I think that they're too spread apart. The rocks wouldn't change that. Also,
no.
They are giant.
Also, if they were fused to him, right, would he even be able to open his eyes?
Would he ever be able to shut his eyes? Are the rocks pinning them in place?
Or like, if rocks were fused to you, would you just die? Like, would you just be crushed
eventually? I think we've already said he should have died in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not good, but... It makes me want to talk more and more about the fact that this was such a failure, just in terms of, like, this movie, I think, has amassed $60 million or so, and it's, you know, it's just its opening weekend, so it'll get a little bit more, but it probably won't get much more because everybody hates it.
And everybody that, like, I knew people that were going to go see it already heard that it was bad and decided,
word
I'm good.
Word travels faster in these
I'm
social
right.
media days.
Yeah, for sure.
But it made $60 million, and that's, I think, here and overseas, which... Overseas has been the big buffer for a lot of these movies, where as well as they may do here, or as poorly as they may do, they'll still do pretty well overseas, but it still didn't do well. And that means that it was a $120 million movie to make, not to mention marketing, not to mention everything else like that, which they spent tons on marketing, I would assume, because there were ads for it everywhere.
Yeah, and for some reason, Denny's was getting in on the action.
That's right, yeah. No, Denny's had the Thing Burger, a sponsor of this podcast. and yet here we are bad-mouthing it. The Thing Burger, eat some rocks. Maybe the rocks are fused to this burger. Maybe this burger was rocks
Maybe
the whole time.
Maybe there's rocks inside this burger.
This burger
eat it and
has
find
some
out.
Gross eyes. Like every burger at Denny's. We've made an enemy of
also
Denny's this
does
day.
Does not look appetizing one bit, that sandwich.
Yeah, no, there's too much on that, right? Like, that's...
I don't even think the bun looks good, and it's bread.
But it's orange rocky bread, let's
yeah,
be fair.
Yeah, it's got, like, weird cheese on it, and I usually like cheesy bread. There's nothing about it that sounds good.
But so, this movie, massive failure. It's almost a 100% lock. It will not make back three-quarters of what it spent, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that's the biggest... I think I read today... That's the biggest flop since Elektra. That's
for like superhero movies.
For superhero movies, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was gonna say that cannot be the biggest flop.
Probably not. Since, like, I don't know what would be, history. But well, that'd be fun to figure out. But Elektra is the last superhero movie that flopped this badly. Also a Fox production.
Yeah.
And has since gone back to Marvel.
Can I say, here's the question, now that we're talking about this, so glad we got Daredevil back.
Oh,
yeah,
for real. Oh, man. And
could you have imagined what a terrible movie? High
five on Fox, I guess, because it wasn't Marvel. If this was true, not getting Silver Surfer back in exchange for Daredevil. Because there was talk right as the Daredevil rights were about to expire, which I think was 2013?
Yeah,
probably. It was 2013 or 2012. And then, like, within a year, they were making the show.
Yeah.
Or they had announced the show. But there was rumor that that Marvel had offered Fox a deal wherein they would keep Daredevil a little bit longer, and Marvel would get the rights for the Silver Surfer back. Which, I like the Silver Surfer a whole bunch. High five on getting Daredevil back instead.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, I guess there's no... Right, technically, I'm not sure if Elektra came back with Daredevil. I feel like she would have to have been in that bundle, but maybe she was big enough that they were like, we're negotiating on our own. Elektra's still ours.
Yeah, maybe because she had her own came
out,
movie.
Yeah, it came out more recently.
I was gonna say, because
one.
Clearly they all got bundled into that.
As Punisher came back, and Daredevil came back.
And all his friends, villains.
All Deed's friends. And yeah, I would imagine Elektra probably came back.
I think she probably did.
She's a Daredevil character, really.
Yeah.
But either way, this is the biggest flop since that, which is impressive. At least the biggest flop that Marvel has had. I don't know if that's indicative of what Green Lantern did. But it begs a question. What's going to happen now? And I think that's really interesting. I think that we're facing now a time where a Marvel property has, in this modern day, really, really hardcore failed. We saw that happen with Amazing Spider-Man, which didn't even fail this badly. Because I think that one probably made its money back, at least, and then just wasn't well received, and so they were like, well, we gotta cut and run. And now they have run, and they've completely recast, and they've dropped all those plans that they had. They had plans for, like, 3 Spider-Man movies,
mm-hmm.
and a Sinister Six movie, and, like, some sort of Spider-Woman movie, and just all of those are canned now. And there's a new Spider-Man coming, and they're working with Marvel now. And what's Fox gonna do now? Like, The leading thought, I think, is that there may not be a Fantastic Four 2 in the works, but that it would not be surprising to see these characters in other Fox movies. I don't know how that would work. Like I said, there's not a lot of crossover in the comics between the X-Men and Fantastic Four. It wouldn't be impossible to work that together here, except that I feel like you want to sweep this under the rug.
I feel like we say, we tried it. We tried this Fantastic Four thing as hard as we could. But maybe we should give up on it for now.
As of, like, 2 days after it was started, there was a petition, for Fox to sell back the rights to Fantastic Four to Marvel. And it had, like, 16,000 signatures within 2 days. I don't think that's going to get anything done. I like the idea of everyone being able to create petitions and put them out there and stuff. You have the right to petition. Doesn't mean that the petitions are going to work.
Yeah.
But I would say that is, honestly, it's up for grabs at this point. I would say if this movie hadn't flopped so badly, there'd be no chance of that. And they're probably, it's still such a slim chance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you kind of want to recoup your losses, and you might have to say at this point, hey, we've tried this 3 times. At various points, superheroes have never been bigger than they are right now, and they probably won't get bigger than they are right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe we cut our losses and we get our money back for the stupid movie.
And we were talking about the alternative, too. Doing a live-action Fantastic Four movie would to make an animated one.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you think about it, that movie already exists in The Incredibles.
It's called The Incredibles.
And how do you outdo that?
I'd say it would be very difficult. Aren't they making The Incredibles 2
yep.
as well?
There's Incredibles 2.
When that comes out and blows Fantastic Four out of the water again, it's going to be like, oh, well, there we go. 100%. We tried that. Another thing that I read today, which was very interesting, I think it was an article by Mark Harris on Grantland, was the idea that it's hard right now to gauge kind of genre fatigue, I suppose. And so, though people are kind of saying, like, oh, this is the death of superhero movies, they're not necessarily saying it about Fantastic Four, but they're saying it about the recent lull, I guess, in movies. Not even really a lull, because Age of Ultron still did very well, even though it wasn't as critically well-received as the first Avengers. And Ant-Man still did better than expected, but still very, very bottom of the pool for Marvel movies, which no one expected it to be up at the top. But It definitely exceeded expectations, but nothing more. And the fact that we have, at this point, from the big two, Marvel and DC, I can't even say how many movies there are planned through the next 5 years.
Yeah.
That's insane. And so there is this looming threat of genre fatigue, which I think is more kind of self-fulfilling prophecy at this point.
Right.
I think that critics have decided that superhero movies are...
Everyone was like, well, when is this bubble going to burst? So
yeah, exactly. And now I think that they're all saying, the bubble's bursting, the bubble has burst. And I don't think it has, at least not with the people. I think with critics, it certainly has, but that was always going to happen.
Right.
No critic is going to sit and watch these movies every time they come out. Well, they'll sit and watch them, but none of them are going to sit and applaud them every time they come out. Except us. We're not really critics, though. despite the long commentary you just heard about this movie. But while there's no way to really measure how much genre fatigue is affecting this, this year is particularly interesting for Marvel because all of these movies, Avengers, Ant-Man, and Fantastic Four, they're all tinged with the promise of something better. Like, not just in the fact that they're all kind of leading into other movies, potentially, but that after Avengers Age of Ultron, Joss Whedon quit and basically said in what amounted to his exit interview, like, hey, there were some things in here that I wanted to do, and there were things that I didn't want to do, and I had to do because the company put that on me or something. And, like, it didn't ruin the movie. I think we did a good job with the movie, but it was very, very, very hard to make this movie. And that's a big part, I think, of why he so clearly left. Like, didn't really leave it open for interpretation. He was like, I'm out of here. And Ant-Man, obviously, very publicly, Edgar Wright was there and had a full script, was already shooting, and left in the middle of production. Again, vague reports, but by and large sounds like... And I think a part of it is that Edgar Wright is very much a perfectionist, and I think takes a long time to make his movies because he is a perfectionist. But seemed to leave because Marvel was getting their hands in it too much. Which, again, it's their movie, so they have every right to do that.
Right.
And they want to make sure that now that they have this universe, that it all kind of ties together. But at the same time, if you're going to tell directors that they can't do as much directing as they'd like, it's a little hard, I think, especially when you get someone at Whedon or Wright's level or something. And that one, too, Joss Whedon had also said about the Edgar Wright... When Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, he was stunned because he said... I believe this is just about a direct quote. He had read Edgar Wright's script. Not only was it the best version of that script that he thought was possible, he thought it was, like, the best script that a Marvel movie had had. He thought it was the best script that a Marvel movie could have had, pretty much. It was the most Marvel kind of script that it could have been. And he was just stunned that Wright was booted off, or left, or whoever's version you want to believe. And so, everyone who, even people that liked Ant-Man, who said, you know, Ant-Man was pretty good, kind of left it with the, it was fine, but kind of idea.
Right.
Which I think we kind of both agreed with.
Yeah.
And then Fantastic Four, Josh Trank, the director of that, very, very publicly, because he's getting a reputation as a malcontent, said, this is not the movie I wanted to make. This is the movie that I wanted to make. The script that I had was great, probably would have been loved, but you'll never see that movie.
Yeah.
And that's very much indicative of what the studios are doing today. And I think that that's scary. I think that we have proven time and time again, especially on TV right now, I think that's why TV is in such a renaissance right now. But we've seen that the people who do the best, the networks that do the best, and the studios that do the best are the ones that keep their hands off and let the creative people do their thing. And, like, obviously Marvel has been towing this line for a little while now. I am a little bit nervous for them because it does seem more and more like they're getting people that are kind of a little bit easier to mold, and they're getting people that they can kind of say, hey, we're gonna have to dedicate a lot of this movie to such and such, to connecting it to the main universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that Ant-Man did a fairly good job with the Falcon scene. Spoilers, Falcon's in it. I don't know how I could be spoiling this because it's
on the trailers all over the place.
Yeah. But they wanted to tie to Avengers very clearly, and they did with that. And I thought that they did a pretty good job. It wasn't so ham-fisted as it could have been.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that movie's just as strong if he doesn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it ever needs to connect to the main Marvel universe. Even make some throwaway lines, whatever. That's right. Fine. Like Paul Rudd saying early in the movie when he's being told that this guy's going to destroy things, you know, kind of saying, oh, call the Avengers.
Right.
And he's like, I've been trying to keep this tech out of Stark hands for so long, I'm not going to hand it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would have been fine. I think that would have been more than enough of a tie. And I think that that's going to only get worse as we get more pieces to this puzzle, which is good for comic fans. I think pretty neat overall as a movie fan. But at the same time, I think it's dangerous. I think it's a dangerous place to go if your entire movie is going to be an ad for another movie.
Yeah.
Or a prequel to another movie, even as you're trying to make a movie now.
Right.
And I think that Fantastic Four went that route a little too much. Like, again, obviously we have not seen the script for Josh Trank's wished for movie. But you have to imagine that Fox wanted it. And again, this is all speculation, so it's hard to really malign them entirely for this. But that Fox wanted it a little bit more palatable for everyone and wanted it in nice, easy chunks that they could then tie to the X-Men, or that they could tie to the bigger idea of superheroes, and that they could go broader with later. And this is a movie that, had it worked, would have been incredibly broad, because there were no characters to speak of. You can still paint those characters any way you want, and I think you'd be able to read anything into it, and I think that you'd be able to put them in any situation and they'd still be able to do fine. They'd be fine. That's kind of how we walked away from this movie, going, it was fine. And then the more we thought about it, we were like, not good. Not good at all. Real problems. But I think that's going to be interesting, especially as now they're going to roll out another X-Men movie next year. They have a Deadpool movie in the works. They have, I think, still a Gambit movie in the works.
Oh, yeah, God.
For a little while, Channing Tatum was out for that, and now I think he's back in.
Is he? I thought he was out.
I think recently I heard he's back in, but... And, like, recently I heard he's back in and he was never really out. It was, you know, a thing that was taken out of context or whatever it was. Or just inaccurate reporting, which is very likely. But I still don't know if that's entirely true. But there's clearly lots of plans on that end. And I think, honestly, those solo movies would have been the place to bring in other Fantastic Four characters.
Well, I wonder if that's what they meant by all that, or if they were just going to try and make a bigger universe within the Fantastic Four stuff.
Maybe. And because if they get a decent amount of Fantastic Four villains, that's not awful ground to work with. And even in terms of, like, you know, you have some of those villains going up against the X-Men, or you have some X-Men villains going up against the Fantastic Four, things like that. I think there are ways to go, and now it's going to be a lot harder to go to those places.
Yeah.
Because this flopped so catastrophically, and, like, it's going to be cool. Cool probably isn't the right word, but it's going to be interesting to see what Fox does next.
Yeah. I think Deadpool will be a good gauge for kind of whether or not they're losing their kind
of grasp
on all of this.
I think X-Men has the advantage in terms of you can have a huge cast.
Right.
You can do interesting things. X-Men is a proven brand at this point. And you can. And even those, I think, even the good movies, the recent good movies, have had real swings and misses. There are oftentimes horrible lines.
Oh, yeah.
There are oftentimes weird characters and just weird development and things like that. I think they're putting way too much of a focus on Mystique, because obviously they cast Jennifer Lawrence and now she's a superstar. And I think that they haven't done interesting things with that character in either of the two movies. And she's been one of the three central characters.
I think I thought Jennifer Lawrence was fine when it all started. And now I kind of view that, at least what she does with Mystique, as kind of like just whiny. And
I think it's very whiny.
And it's
I'll be honest,
tedious to watch.
I like Mystique in the comics, but there is a sense of, except for the sense of like, oh, she's got a, you know, she is a mutant, and so she can connect with the mutant kind of negative, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
The prejudices against mutants, so you can understand why she connects to that, because she is a mutant.
Right.
Hers is very easy to hide. Like, her mutation, it seems fun, honestly. Like, her mutation, I think, would be a blast to have. And all she does is whine and whine and whine.
Well,
and
it's
like, hey, man, Beast is standing right there. He screwed himself up with some formula. I mean, that dude is all blue. He can't go anywhere. She's going to meet, like, Nightcrawler next time, and he's going to be like, I was born this way. And that was almost French and not... But it was really nothing, but it had more of a French flair than an actual Nightcrawler flair. But She's gonna meet him, and she's gonna be all whiny, and he's gonna be like, right, I look like a demon. I got hunted by people in my town that I kind of liked, and now nope, not a fan.
Like, going back to the whiny thing, too, is that I feel like...
go mutant and proud.
I feel like in comics and stuff, I guess I'm never okay with a whiny character, but the fact that, like, in the comics, I feel like she's more, like, stoic. Like, she's better at managing, her, like she's kind of cold, almost.
Yeah, she's very cold. And she has emotions, but they mostly range on anger, I feel
right.
like. she's real tough, and she's real smart, and she's real cunning, and I don't think we've seen much of that.
No.
We've seen it come through a couple of times. But even then, it's still punctuated by a whininess.
Yeah.
Which I will say, I mean, it makes sense, because I think it's a cool visual, and it's obviously great for the plot, that both movie trilogies, well, I guess this one's not a trilogy yet, but both movie series of the X-Men have put Mystique in second-in-command kind of position with Magneto. And she does obviously have a high position in X-Men comics.
Right.
Alongside Magneto, or at least in Magneto's kind of wing of the villain universe. But it's a little strange to keep putting her in second command and not really giving her much to do aside from the busy work of, like, the first few movies put her very much in that kind of, like, she is his, like, sabotage person. She is his go-to for henchmening. But this new series just kind of puts her in between Charles and Eric. And I think that it's kind of a wasted opportunity, because I think she could do so much more by herself. I think that she could... Magneto is obviously the most compelling villain in that entire franchise, and I think that you need to keep him there, but I don't think she needs to be tethered to his side. I think that she can do stuff
for sure
on her own, and I think that making her such a focal point... I think it was kind of interesting in First Class to be like, oh, she grew up with Charles, and then she became what she became? How's that gonna happen? But I don't think... It feels like it happens all off-screen before Days of Future Past. And, like, she's suddenly mad because everybody died, which is effective.
Right.
But it's also, like, since we don't see her get mad, and we didn't really see her get that mad in the first movie, except that, you know, Charles won't let her go out on fights. And, you know, she understands to a point that mutants are prejudiced against.
Mm-hmm.
It never feels like she has that kind of power or that kind of rage or anything like that that comes with Mystique in the comics, and I think that that's a bummer.
Her skill.
Anyway, Fantastic Four was bad, right? That's not a good movie. I feel like there's more than I wanted to say about that movie, about how much it flopped and about what I think it means for the future. I think Deadpool will be an interesting gauge because, like we said, X-Men is bankable at this point, and I think Deadpool will be too.
And it's going to be the first, like, solo book, first solo movie in a while, and the other solo ones have been terrible, like, if you think about it. All the Fox solo films, like Wolverine, actually, the second Wolverine, I guess I've ran into people that feel the opposite way that I do.
Really?
Like, yeah.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
They're subjectively wrong.
Yes.
Oh.
I know.
And that would be, just to clarify for the audience, since I knew where you were going, the idea that Wolverine Origins, pretty good movie, and the Wolverine, bad movie. That's what these people are saying, these wrong people.
Oh, yes, that's what they're saying.
Us. We are saying.
I was like, no, you're saying the opposite.
As the logical. I know, I saw the look on your face, and I was like, oh, no. We're intelligent people. We think Wolverine Origins. I think Wolverine Origins can be pretty fun.
We watched it on 1.5 times.
It's a lot
much better.
There. Yeah. And then that old man on the farm is like, he actually talks at a normal volume and a normal pace.
Not
instead
a normal
of
pace.
And like this. And you gotta get on that
the
motorcycle.
Scene
pretty heavy boy,
forever.
Huh? Anyway. The second Wolverine was pretty good. I think they did a good job with him. And I think that they have more than they could do with
Wolverine. I think we were pleasantly surprised. I think we went into that one being like, we'll see
could
what
be fun,
here.
Yeah. Could be fun if they do it, but like they could have made like a Deadpool-esque movie with him, and it would have been interesting. But yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously, it's been a long time since Punisher and Daredevil and Elektra, and then Origins was bad. The Wolverine was pretty good, and we'll see what Deadpool does. And I think Deadpool has an ability to vary up what they can do, and I think that's interesting. Like we talked a little bit at the top about DC and about how DC has gone hard the other way after Green Lantern. They said, hey, no more fun movies, no more, you know, light movies, lighthearted movies. We have to go dark and grim and gritty, so much so that Suicide Squad has brought a therapist on site to help them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, to help them cope with the dark places that they're going to go.
Well, I guess they would have to, though, after Dark Knight.
It's probably a good PR move, but it's also a stupid PR move. Because it's like, hey, dum-dums, you think that Captain Boomerang's really going to need that therapist on site? He's going to go to such a dark place. It's like, hey, then don't write such a dark movie. Suicide Squad, like, by its definition, I think, not necessarily even, I think it should be a fun movie. Like,
it probably should be.
And it's not going to be. It's going to be dark and grim and gritty like Superman was, or Man of Steel was, which I don't think Man of Steel should have been either, because Superman is about endless optimism and hope in his, like, most basic incarnation. And I think then to be like, it's so hard to be an alien on this planet that hates and fears me, and I have the power of a god, and they all worry that I might destroy the world. And that seems to be where Batman vs. Superman is going, and it's just, it's exhausting on that end. But I think that Deadpool is a chance for Fox to show, hey, we're not just gonna go
right
with one direction. I think X-Men is a better tonal movie than the DC movies.
Yeah.
And things like that, but I think that you could see them getting locked into, and it's harder to place X-Men, I would say, except, I mean, X-Men kind of feels like a superhero movie, I guess. Like, yeah. It feels like a... not like any of the Marvel... Like, I think Marvel's done a really good job, and I've definitely spoken about this in the past, but done a really good job of varying their tone and the type of movie that they have per thing. Like, Iron Man is a science fiction movie in a lot of ways, and Thor is a fantasy movie,
right.
And Captain America is a war movie in the first one and, like, a noir kind of movie in the second one. And Avengers kind of is the most... basic superhero movie.
Right.
The most basic kind of team-up, big action blockbuster. And that's more what X-Men has done. Which I think has worked, because they've had the lighter moments, they've had the fun, they've had the more serious things. But I think Deadpool could really... because Fantastic Four didn't have any tone at all, I would say. And Deadpool, I think, could be a really fun... they're trying to make it a really fun, completely just action-based, raucous kind of movie. Which I think would at least be a nice... shift and a nice addition to the bullpen of, like, oh, we can do movies like that. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, changed everything for everyone in a lot of ways. I think not necessarily that you couldn't do a Deadpool movie pre-Guardians. I don't think that's true. But now I think you feel a little safer. Like, oh, Guardians went almost entirely humor.
Right.
Like, there are serious moments to a point, but even that, they're almost all undercut by some sort of laugh.
Right.
And they work. They, by and large, work. And so I think that Guardians kind of made it more palatable for, like, oh, we can make a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
There will be an audience out there for it.
One more thing, and then I think we should wrap this up. I realized we forgot to mention what a sociopath Sue Storm is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And like the fact that she's smart because patterns.
Because she recognizes
patterns.
And she knows all
the
about
end,
everybody.
This never helps us except to find Miles Teller. Which probably would have happened without knowing the patterns.
Yeah, right? I went to the bathroom during that scene when she
the idea was that he keeps changing. I guess
he's a big dummy.
He keeps also. Okay, it was weird. Like, he changing
must know
his appearance.
After them, right?
He did. Mm-hmm. Because he was changing his appearance, which I'm pretty sure. Isn't his powers. Like, he was somehow stretching his face into a different shape.
I guess
was the idea.
Being a power of his, but it's
but, like,
really...
it wouldn't stay that way, right?
He would have to hold it that way, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He seems to have control over, like, how long his arm extends and things like that. So I'm sure he'd be able to keep it in place, but it would take some
but it's
focus.
Not like...
And it feels like, hey, bro, maybe focus on other things.
He can extend his arm and bring it back, but could he give his arm tone? Because that's the idea that I feel like they were going on. Like, could he stretch his muscles out to look bigger? Because that's what they were doing.
I mean, he must be able to, right?
I guess you could, yeah, but I feel like that would take an enormous amount of concentration. That was another thing. Her powers apparently took an enormous amount of concentration. That never came through either.
I know. So much happened and didn't pay off. But, like, yeah, she needs to find him in the forest. Like, when he's at his secret... I found my own science base. And he must know they're after him because he's locking himself down. And yet, here I am making my wireless password or whatever, the one book that I referenced to Sue Storm that I like. Like, it's Captain Nemo. And it's, well, she's like, that's definitely him. He loves that book.
I don't buy that he made that his password.
Because he's not a dummy.
Because he mentioned the book one time. He didn't say it was his favorite book. He never said it was his favorite book.
He might have. He at least said that he really, really, really loved it.
He really liked it, and he talked to her about it, but I don't remember it being that big a deal.
I wish that they had stormed some other place, and it was not him, because it was just like, I just like that book. And I think that, like, for the world's smartest man, and obviously in this movie, they don't ever call him the world's smartest man, so in this universe, he might not be. He might just be a pretty smart kid.
See, that's not...
It's not how I view Reed Richards. I don't think it's the right way to do it, but at least it would be a character choice, which I don't think they made any of. But for him to be like, hey, instead of a secure password while the government and this girl who I know is real, real smart, looking for me might find me, I'm gonna just make it Cap Nemo something. What a dummy I am.
Okay,
but so I'm gonna throw in, like, a 3 for the E, so they shouldn't catch me.
So for real this time...
What was it for one real last time? Oh.
One last thing. Because I thought of this at the beginning, but I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying because it was sort of pointless.
I thought you were saying what I was saying. It was sort of pointless. I was like, fair.
I was thinking about it because going back to the science fair that we're talking about that he was at. What year was that science fair, do we think? Like, when does this whole thing take place?
I don't know. I feel like I got a sense of it at some point in there, but I don't know.
I can't remember
Who
now.
Cares?
Because I was thinking about the science fair, and he's like, and the teacher, and he does whatever, and he like, he brings that plane back, and it's got the dirt on it or whatever, and he's like, see, I did it, and then he's like, that's just a trick, that's just a magic trick, blah, blah, blah.
It's a pretty good magic trick.
What do you mean a magic trick? Like, what do you mean
Dick
a magic
Castle
trick?
Is so hell-bent on hating Reed Richards that he's like, I don't care. Like, he could have brought back, like, another human who was like, what? Where am I? What just happened to me? And Dick Castle would have been like, nice. Real
was
nice.
Was that guy hiding behind the counter
How much
the
did
whole
you pay
time?
Him? Oh, God. It was so bad. This movie was so, so bad. But it must have been, like, around nowadays, because Lil Miles Teller's dad, Tim Heidecker, our stepdad, Tim Heidecker, was wearing a Jets hat that would have been about period for like 10 years ago.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Honestly, probably older. Like, it feels like this movie could have taken place in 1998 for, like, the stuff that Lil Tim Heidecker is... Not Lil Tim Heidecker. Lil Miles Teller's stepdad to be wearing and, like, the TV that he's watching and stuff. I don't know. It's all dumb.
Know.
It's the dumbest. Every part of this movie was the dumbest.
It didn't make any sense.
So anyway, with that, don't go see Fantastic Four this weekend. Just do anything else with your time.
Don't need it.
Talk to us. We don't care. Tweet at us at the Nerd Pals, and we'll talk to you about what we hated about Fantastic Four. Even if you don't ask us about that, we'll tell you all about it. Follow us on Instagram at the Nerd Pals. You won't find anything there.
No.
I don't think I've posted anything on
there. No, we say this every time.
Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it. Rate and review us on iTunes. That's a big deal, guys. 5 stars, please. If you don't want to give us 5 stars, keep it to yourself. Instead, maybe that's why we don't want any reviews. Oh,
maybe.
I just got real sad. So give us 5 stars, because I just got real sad. And
just
cheer
help
us
out here.
But rate and review us, subscribe on iTunes, that helps us stay up in the conversation up there. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about this movie. If you have a different opinion, this is not a lie or an attempt to fight, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear what people liked about this movie. And I know that now sounds like I'm asking for a fight, I'm asking to fight you, but I really am genuinely interested in what people would have liked about this movie. There's no way to make this not sound like I'm so condescending to anyone who liked this movie. But email us at thenerdpals@gmail.com. And, you know, tweet at us, like I said, whatever, who cares.
All right.
5 stars.
Goodbye.
Thanks, guys. You guys all have a great week. We'll talk
Bye,
to you guys
nerds.
Next week. Bye.